scriptures I'm going to read there. Jeremiah chapter 12. The two verses of scripture that I'd like to read. They are going to be the verses that I'm going to refer to more than anything else. Chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. It says this. You have run with a footman, and they have wearied you. Then how can you contend with horses? And if you, in the land of peace, in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplains of the Jordan? For even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. Folk, tonight I want us to look at this running with horses. That's the topic of the sermon, running with horses. Because I believe so often in our lives we do that. God has given us something, and it's a race that we're running. It says in Hebrews 12, there's a race that we're running. We need to be fervent in that race. But yeah, Jeremiah is talking about this, but as before I get into what God is actually answering Jeremiah, I just want to give us a bit of a background to start off with. Jeremiah received his call from God to prophesy against Israel's idolatry at a very young age. Though he was actively receiving his call as a young man, God begins to tell Jeremiah that he was literally born for the task. After informing Jeremiah that he was born and destined for just this time and for this task, the Lord then goes on to give him assurance that every one of us should ever need. The assurance is found in Jeremiah chapter 1. You can turn there with me, verse 17 through 19. Therefore prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, a bronze wall against the whole land, against king of Judah, against the princes and its priests, against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And folk, what we need to understand is that God calls each and every one of us, just as he calls Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah begins this work and he starts prophesying. And the people decide, no, listen, this guy's not saying nice things about us. He must get out. He must stop talking. He's not growing the kingdom. I mean, he's telling us we've got to repent. We've got to turn from our ways. And people, he does this. And it appears as though his preaching has been found, his main preaching has been in the town, his hometown. We find in chapter 11 that the men of the town had already told Jeremiah not to prophesy. In other words, it's like telling Pastor Pat not to preach, telling me and Shirley and Keith not to preach the word of God. These men say to him, don't do it. We're going to kill you if you carry on doing this. But sadly, in chapter 12, we see that his own father and his brothers have turned against him. as well. But you know, what we need to understand is that Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. Here's a lesson for us tonight as Christians. We have a duty as loved ones, as one people who belong to Christ, to tell our unsaved friends and family about Jesus and to continue to pray for them. I want to tell you something. You probably know it. Try and speak to an unsaved brother or a sister. They're going to look at you as if you're mad. And they say, man, I know where you come from. Don't come and try and be all holy, a holy Joe around me. You know, folk, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's something within you that wants to give that person the most treasured gift of all. A gift that goes beyond anything that silver and gold can purchase. It's a gift of Jesus Christ. So I want to say to you tonight, even those friends of yours that might know you and know things about you or see things about you, continue to preach the Word of God to them. Don't give up. Don't be dismayed. Don't be just discouraged when they seem to defriend you. Well, is that how you do it on WhatsApp? You defriend a person? Or is it on Facebook or tweet, or yaps up, or whatever the case it might be, okay? So then they defriend you, but friend them again and carry on telling them about Jesus, all right? You see, Jesus and the prophets before Jeremiah were rejected by those closest to them. But their converts came from elsewhere. Their converts didn't come from within their own hometowns. We need to be obedient. We need to tell the gospel in obedience as Jesus did. And don't let a man or a woman tell you to be quiet. Even if they threaten you, stand and stand firm. Get up and do what Jeremiah did. He continued to preach and teach and prophesy as God had given him unction. Well, in chapter 12, we see that Jeremiah is now getting a little discouraged. And he begins to ask the whys and the how longs. Why are the wicked prospering? Why are they prospering? Why are all those who deal treachery at ease? You see it and you know this guy's doing things, man, that are really way down there. But yet he seems to be doing well. Why is it? You're working your fingers to the bone. You're wondering, what's happening? How long is this land, am I to mourn for this land? How long is it going to be that the vegetation is going to be in the countryside is going to wither? How long do I have to put up with this? How long do I have to put up with a boss that is uncouth? How long do I have to put up with a storm in my life? That's discouragement, folks. And I want to tell you tonight that God gives Jeremiah a gentle rebuke. If you have run with footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? Ouch. I want to just point something out here to us. God doesn't reprimand His people for their weaknesses. He uses your weaknesses to be your strength. Doesn't reprimand you for your weaknesses. In fact, if we look in the Old Testament, we see God rebuking and chastising His people. And we see Jesus chastising the disciples in the New Testament. What for? For their lack of faith and their slowness to believe. Not because they're weak. Maybe we can sympathize with Jeremiah tonight and say, well, you know, he had a right to ask God those questions about God's love and faithfulness to the nation of Israel. Jeremiah himself, if God had not already assured Jeremiah that I will fight, they will fight against you, as we've just read in Jeremiah chapter 1. They will fight against you. They will come against you. But they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you. And folk, this is not the first time that I'm actually speaking about this. Some time back, in John 16:33, what's it say? The last part of that verse says, Jesus has overcome the world. He says, I tell you these things, but be of good cheer. You will have to be of good cheer because I've overcome. And folk, right here in the Old Testament, God's saying it again. If he said it once, he'll continue to say it to you and I all the time. He has overcome the world. We need not be afraid. We've got every right to stand up and stand bold and to preach the word of God and to let the world know about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That wasn't me. So here in essence is God's response to Jeremiah in verse 5. You've been speaking my word, which I have given you, to warn the nation of the destruction that will come if they do not turn from their evil and repent in obedience and faith. Your preaching has been to your family and the common people of your hometown and the lesser princes and priests of my people. You've been running with the footmen, Jeremiah. Ouch. David, you've been running with a footman. Pat, you've been running with a footman. Glenn, you're running with a footman. He says, but I've got bigger plans for you. I've got greater plans for you. Your hometown has been your training ground. That's where I've been training you, setting you up, letting you see some of the issues that will come your way. A place of preparation for you. And if you've become weary and ready to give up while running against the footmen, how will you run against the horses in Jerusalem when I send you there? Conrad, how are you going to run against the horses if you have to go to government and tell them to back up their ideas and start following Jesus? If we can't handle the footmen here at Christian Heritage Church. Maybe this seems like a big cane. It's not. I want to encourage us really tonight to understand what's written on the banner outside. There are many in the city. There are many in the city. Continue to preach the word. And if we can't handle the footmen, folk, how are we going to handle the greater issues of life? We need to be prepared. We need to be bold. We need to be strong enough to know that God is there protecting us. We're not alone. They will not prosper against us. They can contend. But how will you contend if you're giving up now against the religious rulers and the evil princes and the idolatrous population of the capital city? If you grow tired and give up, while you're still in the small city of your birth. So let's listen closely and hear what the Spirit is saying to us concerning running with the footmen and the horses. I believe the first point is this, that it's a call to service. And I wish I was wrong about this, but I really believe that when I say that our South African society has largely lost the sense of what it means to serve, it's lost that sense. The only folk that we really hear talking about service anymore on a daily basis in society are the ones who want to sell us something. Let us serve you. Our service is our middle name. You deserve to be served. And so the sayings just roll off the tongue. But if they're really entirely honest with themselves, their mottos need to change to lines such as, "We deserve to have your money." The prophet. Prophet is our first and our middle and our last name. You see, folk, true service to someone out of a servant's heart and for the sake of putting them before ourselves has largely fallen by the wayside in a selfish, pleasure-seeking society. But as Christians, our call to the service of God remains. I want to say that again. As Christians, our call to serving God remains. It's still there, in spite of the world system, what the world system is screaming at us. In spite of that, we haven't been let off serving God. God's not saying to us, "Okay, you can take a break." Only people taking a break is fat in your wine. They've still got to serve God in some way or another. So don't think you're retiring altogether. God's still got something for you. For the rest of you here, there's no break for you at all. It only becomes harder to convince people that they're called to service. To convince the rest of you to tell you to start serving, that's the hardest part. You see, folk, we need to start applying this to our lives. God has called us to service. The very foundation of the message to the believer is that he and she have been saved by God's grace through faith in the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And as saved ones, ones who have given your lives to Jesus, we are to serve and to strive and live a way that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking to be like Jesus, serving Him and one another in love and the furthering of the kingdom of God through the word and deed until He comes. That's what our service is to be. Secondly, I believe that God's promises concerning His support of you and I in our service to Him. The promises are plentiful, as the verses that call us. But His word, God says in Isaiah, will not return to Him void, without accomplishing what God desires and without succeeding in the matter for which it was sent. You see, the word of God goes out like the rain comes down to water the earth. And we need to understand that God will plant that seed where it needs to be planted. It will grow and it will bring forth fruit which God desires. Not the fruit that you and I want, but the fruit that God wants. Paul assures us in the gospel message that the gospel message is a very, very powerful. God saves us all through that message. With a commission to spread the gospel comes the assurance that we will be sent by the one to whom all authority has been given in heaven and earth. We've all been called by Him. And He said, even till the end of the earth, I will be with you all. We hear Paul saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? And nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. In John 11, we have Jesus' own assurance that anyone who believes in Him will never die. And so the promises go on and on and on. God is concerned about those that serve Him. He loves them. And He embraces us. He covers us with His wing. And no one can contend with us. We are sheltered by the wing of the Almighty. Church, we have to comprehend and believe that we are indeed called to His service in this world, and that there is nothing the world can do outside of God's control. God is in control, and they cannot do anything. ISIS, stand aside. God is coming through. And I say it tonight with great respect, because I know the God that I serve. I know that He loves us and will protect us. Excuse me. The final point that I have tonight is this, and it's more of a question rather than a point. Where are you right now in your training process? You remember Jeremiah being called, how he grew tired, not seeing any converts, not seeing any fruit. And he asks why and how. But this we can say for Jeremiah, even if we had to stop here and go no further, at least he was running with the footmen. Where are you right now in this training process? Do you even run with a footman? Are you letting the world know, those unsaved people know, those are the footman people? Are you letting them know about Jesus Christ? Do you even know what it is to run with a footman? What and who are the footmen? Who would try to halt or hinder your service to the Lord? Running with a footman is doing what God calls us to do and saying what He gives us to say. I believe that I've got a list here that I'd like to read to you of what it is to run with footmen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Do I have to enlarge on that? You're so few tonight. Let's encourage those who aren't here to be here. That's the assembling together. Why? Because that's where God begins to speak. Love one another. Build up one another. Go make disciples of all people, teaching them. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Pray without ceasing. Pray for the saints. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What do? We seek first all the other things before we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Love thy neighbor. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Did I say the last one? Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wives, be subject to your husband as to the Lord. You see, folk, if these things tire you right now, if you're tired of them right now, then we've got a problem. Because it's these things that make us run with the footmen. These are the footmen. If you fail even to run with a lack of faithfulness, a lack of love for the Lord, then how will He ever train you for running with horses? You see, folk, it's those little things. It's the little things. It's the little fish that break the net. It's not the mature foxes that destroy the vines. It's the little things in our lives that destroys our service. Do you run with the footman? How will he prepare you for powerful and significant service for him in the future? How will he make you the kind of Christian whose very life furthers the kingdom of God in the world around you if you won't even finish the training? And maybe if we're honest with ourselves, some of these things are, you dance around. You feel like you have to dance on coals. But you know what, folk? I believe the time has come for us to stop for a moment and begin to do what God has asked us to do. If this is your training ground, God has greater things for you. Go along with the training. Training's not always easy, is it, Mornay? Many of us have been through Bible college how many times, but we still continue to go. Sometimes we have to eat humble pie because it's something that God wants us to do. There's a training ground for all of us tonight. We need to do and stay with the program. Stay with the program. We hear Jeremiah many times saying things like, I've become a laughing stock all day long. Everybody mocks me. Each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach all day long. Folk, faithfulness is not an easy thing. It's not easy. It does call for determination. It often calls for sacrifice. And it calls for conviction and intestinal fortitude. But you know what? It is God's reward. And we are strengthened by His Holy Spirit if we are running for God. That's our strength, is the Holy Spirit within us. And it has God's own reward. Doesn't matter who we are. But I believe that if we are children of God, we need to stand up. We prepared to say, Father God, no matter what it takes, I will be there. It means I've got to leave certain things. Father, let me do it. Because folk, when we begin to do that, then my friends, we will be vessels that God can use. He will give us victories in our private life. He will bring us forth, bring forth fruit from our lives that will encourage us to go on and to grow spiritually and to serve faithfully. The day will come when He will have you running against the horses and winning. The day will come when you will be fulfilling exactly what God will want you to do. The disciples did that. They began running with the footmen. Many gave up, but those that stayed became great men for God. In fact, I believe that each and every one of us here have great things. Great things that God wants us to have. I want to close with this scripture. Therefore, so take note. It's there for a reason. Take note. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with the endurance the race that is before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despite the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For He considered who endured those hostilities from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Folk, I believe from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2 to 3, God wants us to endure. Endure the race. Grow spiritually. Seek God so that we can say, we are quiet because we know our God. When He says speak the word that He tells you to speak. Because somebody somewhere needs that word that's spoken to them. Run with the footman right now, folks. We don't know. Never give up. We don't know what tomorrow holds. You may be taken to a greater area of ministry than what you think you act right now. Folk, I want to encourage you tonight with this word. Even though we're running with a footman, don't lose heart. Take courage. You've been called. Jeremiah was called. You know what? He eventually went on to Jerusalem and started speaking to the kings and the princes and started making a difference. And the priests. Contending with those that thought they were mighty. What happened? They fell short. Because we serve a God who's greater. Greater than all things are. Let's run with the footmen. Amen. Father, we honor You. We exalt You today. We pray, Father, that if we have fallen short in any way, if we've given up, we've allowed the things of this world to trap us. Help us, I pray, that we might get up again. Start taking on the training that You want us to take on and doing that which You want us to do. Even though it may seem insignificant, I pray, Father, give us the boldness. Give us the courage. Give us the endurance to endure for You and for Your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.